Again, I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, here in the congregation, those in live streaming. I hope and pray that you come prepared to hear the Word of God, and I'm going to turn it over to our apostle, Joel Yates.
Good evening. Very thankful to be here, very thankful for the opportunity to come tonight, last service this year in our local, and so as we have this opportunity tonight, I want to talk about, you know, I'm not one of these guys that's a New Year resolution guy. Probably because it's really hard to pull that off successfully all the time, and that doesn't mean that we don't have some aspects that we need to talk about and consider. And so, I think that's up, right? No? It says computer. Well, it's on.
I'm going to here.
Oh, okay. Did it do anything?
No.
All right. So let's try something else. Maybe a different connection. Let's try a different connection. Did that do anything? Okay. Well, interestingly enough, this sermon is about time. If I can get this going, it'll be about time that we get started. Okay, so let's see. Yep, I'm working on it here. All right. Well, while we're working on that, I'm going to begin while I'm letting this do what it does. And I'm so sorry. I've never had a problem with this computer doing this. So it's always just started right up here. But as I was thinking and praying about this, I'm going to restart real quick. See if it will pick it up. Don't you love technology? So, as I was pondering today or this week, I've been thinking and praying about this time, this opportunity tonight. And we're coming to the end of a year, but we're coming to the end of a decade. And as I was pondering this, you know, how many new things, and we're gonna skip by it while this is going on. It's one of those things I wanted to know what you remember. How many things have happened in the last decade? Give me some major things that you remember that happened in the last decade. Let's start with 1990. Anything big happened in 1990? Yeah, my daughter, I'm sorry, did I say 1990? 2010. I'm in the wrong decade. This tells you that even here in this body, we have people that look at time a lot differently. There's some of us that look at it decades back, but let's look at the last 10 years. 2010. What are some of the major things that happened? iPad. The iPad was introduced in 2010. Has that changed our world? I mean, it's changed so many things. Are we affected by it? We're affected by it to this day. All right, is this coming up? Is it really not? I'm going to need some help, Stephen. You know what? Never mind. I know what the problem is. Somebody unplugged the bottom half of this thing.
Didn't want to embarrass you.
Let me see if that... No, the power's is on. It, is it... Someone unplugged it at the base. That's why. Let me see. I may not have got it plugged in. Is it on? Oh. Is it doing it now? Okay.
You're still not out, right?
No. I'll come up though. Yeah, my computer. Does it have a signal? No, my. All right, we're waiting. This is a Microsoft. We don't have some of the flexibility of some of you guys. It takes a little bit of time. All right, let's keep going through this last decade. I think there's some important things that we're looking at things that affected us in this last decade. Give me some other things that happened in this last decade. Important things. What? Asher was born. That is an important thing, and I think it has affected all of us in this local.
For good.
For good. All right. Is that got a lighthouse on it? No lighthouse, no dark house. Unplug it. In just a minute, I'm going to have to go through it without you being able to see any pictures. So, all right, I apologize. All right. We have it? We have the light coming through a window? Good. It is about time. That's not going to get old all night either. Okay, now you got to wait. This is where we back up and wait. I know. You've already had the election of officers. We're already in the future. Oh, we had elections. Okay, I know which elections you're talking about. We've had several elections. All right. Are you still seeing things waking up? Slowly. Thank you. No, there's more waking up. Like I said, this is a Microsoft. What I really want to talk about tonight is time. And so, while this is still waking up, how do we divide time? When we talk about time, how is time divided in our mind? Have a millennium, right? What's a millennium? Centuries? Okay. Does anybody know what 50 years is? Good, I'm glad I wasn't the only one. I looked it up and I can't even pronounce the word. So we don't really talk about the 50-year cycle. A decade is 10. Years, months, weeks, days. What's the score? 20 years, score. That's a good one, I missed that one.
4 to 4 and 7 years.
That's right. A score is when I get on that slide, just look past that. I missed that one, the score. Seconds, all these things, let me see if we can do this again. This is how we often talk about time, and that's not how I'm going to talk about time tonight. Is there another division of time? Generations was actually one of those things that I probably made a note of. Scripturally, how did the scriptures talk about time? Asher? Oh, BC and AD. Okay, that's pretty good. Actually, Gordon read it this morning. What was it that he read? The first scripture I think he read this morning was about how the scriptures kind of divide time. So, turn to Revelation chapter 1. And this is, this morning I was up probably, I woke up with my mind going crazy about 3:30 this morning, and I got up and I went out and made my notes, and I came to church, and Gordon started preaching, and he used this concept right off at the very beginning. And, okay, we may be in business in a minute. Don't rush. Some things you can't rush. I want you to look in verse 19. John the apostle was told by the Lord Jesus Christ, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And so this is... Oops. No. What have I done to myself? All right. I am so, so sorry. This is where we need patience in the present, right? All right, we're going to try this again. All right. Wake up. All right. Maybe we're there. And it's true. Okay. Let's see if we can get it to... Is it still split? Still all of them right now? Are we there? All right. Good. It is about time. All right. So, what I really want... it's here. The importance of time. I want to talk about these things and how God connects them. We talked about the divisions, the ways we divide time and the things that we talk about. By season, spring, summer, fall, winter. But I want to consider these other three categories. Past, present, and future. Which one of these categories is the most important? What's that? Present? Well, I thought I was going to answer this, and then I went through this, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to answer that question yet. And so let's look at a couple of these things. Revelation, which we already read, 1:19. John was told to write about the things that already have been, the things which are happening in his life right then, the present, and the things which were going to be in the future. And so I started thinking about this, and I'm going to start in the past. What is the importance of the past? And as we look at time, even though this time part of this time wasn't measured to us, there's this important connection to the past that you and I could never get away with. I started trying to figure out, as I was thinking about what happened in the last decade, what happened, this year. Why are those things important? Are they important to where I'm at today and to my future? And then I started thinking of the past. You know, in this somebody's timeline, I don't know who drew this timeline, you know, they got from Genesis to where we are today. They did this in 2014, so we're 5 years beyond this. And they got all these big things that happened in history, in the history of the world, in the Christian world, in, you know, things that God did from the Garden of Eden and you and I being created in the image of God, to the flood, to, you know, Abraham's birth and the covenant that of God showing how he dealt with the children of men and how he would deal with the children of men from thereafter, the birth of our Savior, all these, the crucifixion, the resurrection, all these things are part of the past. And I started wondering and thinking about, you know, and I was thinking, you know, what's the most important? I was thinking it was the present, but I started thinking about the past. And I want to look at some scriptures. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. And here Nephi says, "It came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek Him, as well in times of old, as in time that He should manifest Himself unto the children of men. For He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto Him." How do we lessen how important the past is? It is one of those things that everybody looked back to because it's the foundation of everything that we live for and believe as Christians. It establishes the person that we are. It establishes the one that we serve. It establishes why we think the way we do, where our faith came from, how we were grounded. He goes on, "For he that diligently seeketh shall find. The mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old, as well as in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore the course of the Lord is one eternal round." There is a connection that's so important of everything, the past, the present, the future. They're all connected. And they have these important things. These important things that sometimes it is important for us to dwell on, to look back. I was thinking, you know, as I was throughout this week, I've been thinking of myself and looking at myself in this year and things that, you know, where I was, what I did, what I didn't do. The 10 years before that, the decade, as I pondered these things. So I want to talk about this importance of the past. This was something that Nephi went to immediately. That we have this God that's unchangeable from the beginning to the end. He interacts with us the same as He did with those people, the same as He will with those in the future, the same as He does with us today. He is dependable. You and I can search Him out and find Him and have the same way of doing it as these men of old. He does and has the same abilities as He did in all times. The past, the invitation from the beginning of man remains the same to you and I today and goes out to those that are yet in the future. This importance of our past, our present, and our future, the connection that's found in God and His unchangeable way as He touches everything. And so, you know, as I remember these things, you know, why is the past so important? You know, the word "remember" is used over 300 times in the Scriptures. The past has to be important because you and I are called to remember. Over and over again, we're told to remember. There's something important that you and I need to take note of. And it has to do with where we've been and where we're going. You know, the past, it's the connection to who we are. I am who I am because of what happened in my past, because who my family was, where I was raised, what we are today. It's a product of what happened in our past. Where we are, where we came from, how we became what we are, all these things, they're connected to our past. And, you know, our faith in Christ, the very connection started before the foundation of the world. Started before we were in our mother's womb. How important is the past? What would our today be, or our future, if we didn't have the past that we have? That can be used for good or bad. There's a, don't read the scripture, but what's that picture depicting? Can somebody tell me? I don't know how big it is for you to see. What is it? No, go past that. What's that? Crossing the River Jordan. Joshua, when the children of Israel were called to walk into the land of Canaan after Moses passed away, they're at the edge of the promised land, and the Lord said, He said, have the priests that are holding the Ark of the Covenant go into the River Jordan and stand in the River Jordan, which was at flood stage. And it says that the priests, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they walked into the River Jordan. And they stood in the middle of the River Jordan, and it was like this wall went up, and the water, the flood waters, backed up until all of them crossed on dry ground. And then the Lord told Joshua this. He said in the fourth chapter, verses 4-7, and Joshua called the 12 men. As the Lord told him, I want you to get 12 men, one from every tribe, and I want them to go, and I want them to take a stone from where the River Jordan is. And then he tells them what he was going to have them do. Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. This, you know, as he goes, this whole chapter is dedicated to this story. All the verses, I think there's like 14 verses. It's all dedicated to this story. That they would fear the God of Israel, who did something mighty. They were there as a memorial. And as we look back at these things in our life, and I hope that you have them in your families, why are we where we are? We have these history, these things in history that have caught our eye, the things that God has done. All these we glean from the past. That's why the Lord had them written down, wanted us to remember, just as these men, to show their children in the future the mighty God of Israel and what He was, that they would fear Him and worship Him. And so, you know, these connections that we can't make them unimportant. 1 Corinthians 11 says, one of the things that we take for granted, a week from today we're going to participate in, is that the Lord, by commandment, here in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and through 26, Paul spoke, I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. This standard that would remain among God's people until He comes. That we have a God that gave His life for us. There are things that our whole faith is connected to the past. If we have grown up in Jesus Christ, if we have faith in a God of miracles, in a God that saves, our past is so important because it has implications that push us all the way into our future and into the future. Without them, we would be helpless, unable to stand. And yet God has put all these things in our past to bless us and to prepare us for something else. The past, which includes our personal life story, it's what anchors our faith in Christ. And it affects our thoughts, it affects our decisions, the actions of this very day. It's the reason we're here. You know, because of our past, because of things we've seen in history, because we stop and we look and we take note, it's changed the way we want our future. It's affected the way the decisions I'm going to make today. There's things I wouldn't do because of my past. How important is that? Because I didn't like the outcome. There's things that I do because of my past, because of things that I did, that I saw the blessing of God. It's changed the outcome. It's changed what I do today, why I would do it. The gospel shows us what God has done, is doing, and is going to do in the future. All of that is involved in the books. The history of our nation, our family, our personal journey with God, those are important to building our faith. You know, I was thinking of, you know, this last decade, you know, Adam lost his job. It affected his family. It affected our local. It even affected our church. We will never be the same because of something that happened that God did for our good, for their good. So again, we're going to talk about this time, you know, and, you know, what advantage does age bring? Well, how many of you are wiser because you've lived longer? How many of you are supposed to be wiser because you live longer? You know, we're supposed to, age and history are supposed to bring us to look, you know, strongly at, you know, when we take a look at the past. And as you and I come to the end of this year, if you haven't stopped and took into account what happened this year, this last decade, you're missing something so important for your future, for the decisions of tomorrow, for those things that you want to commit to in the coming year, because these things are important to us. So, you know, what does the past show us? If we look back at the past, one of the things that the past shows us is, you know, it's found in Psalms 51, 1 through 6. David committed a horrible sin and God called him on it. And here David is writing this psalm as God corrected him and he's looking back. So he's looking at his past. And this is what he says: "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You know, when you and I look back at those things where we have failed, it's so important. "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." You know, one of those things I've been doing this week is I've looked back. Saying, Lord, there's some things I've really failed on. There's things I've struggled with. There's things that have gotten the best of me this year. And it's important that you look at yourself. He says, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." You know, the Lord spoke to him and he judged him through the prophet Nathan. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." You know, God wants you and I to be honest as we look back at our past. It's important that we see who we really are, that we understand and that we acknowledge and see what we're really doing or not doing. It's so important for us. This is one of those important things of the past, is they allow you and I to humble ourselves before the Lord, because it is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of seeking God to be clear of those things of the past, to look forward to a different future. And it's going to affect our attitude today. It's going to affect everything, including the grace of God. Whether you are and I humble ourselves because of what we saw, whether we take pride and say, oh, I was just fine, you and I need to spend time in our past. Satan uses the past too. This is specifically for this idea of repentance, for this concept of changing the route, going a different direction in the future, being different people. This is something that's so important as we come to the end of this year. It's not just the end of this year. This is a lifelong thing. Looking back at our past, it may be yesterday what I did wrong. I hope it is. I hope you're aware of yesterday and the months. You know, repentance, the result of looking back at the past, getting something, clearing it out, so that your future really does set a different course in you. So some of the past 10 years, you know, some important things that have happened that they have affected us, and they might affect us. You know, some of these things that I have on my list, they're just somebody else's list. I don't think all of them really affect me a whole lot, but some of them do, and we're going to look at a couple of those. So here's some of my list. I talked about iPad. Social media went viral. Does anybody remember Kony 2012? Anybody remember that? There was a warlord in Uganda that was abusing everyone, including children. So social media wanted to make him popular worldwide so everybody would know what he was doing. They were crying out from Uganda, help us. This guy is indiscriminately killing. He's a monster. And so in 6 days, there's 20 million hits all over the world, making the world aware of this individual. In 2012, the Mayan calendar came to an end. Any of you remember that? Some people, that's the end of the world. I mean, the Mayan calendar is the foremost authority on time, right? And time ended for the Mayan calendar. 2014, the Ice Bucket Challenge. I know some of you took the Ice Bucket Challenge to raise awareness for ALS and its research. I mean, they raised like $115 million. You know, it affected our nation. Something like this, just simple, crazy, but it affected our nation. In 2015, Apple released racially diverse emojis. Those included same-sex couples and families. Did this affect us? Later that year, same-sex marriage was made legal in the United States. 2016, Pokemon Go made the world go crazy. I don't see many people doing that anymore, and I'm okay with that. 2017, total solar eclipse. How many of you remember where you were? Yeah, some of you probably looked at it. Probably some of you in Independence were able to actually look at it with your... you know, the transgender movement in this last decade has picked up speed, hasn't it? Is it affecting us? I was thinking about this the other day, you know, talking with my youngest daughter. She was telling me, I'm thinking about growing up in high school. All those things were there. But this last decade, they're not there the same way. They've gained speed. As my daughter explained to me, some of the difficulties of managing and working through the world as it is today, these are some of the challenges that have happened and are going to affect us. They're affecting even the way we think. You know, talking to, I think it was my mother the other day, didn't think about how we talk to people like this because we didn't have much access to people that were doing things that we as Christians would say, well, that's kind of against the law of God. And yet, now they're in front of us. You and I have opportunities to talk to them, to encourage them, to love them as a Christian loves. And before, we didn't really take a lot of time making preparation to help a brother or a sister or a fellow traveler down the road of life that's struggling with these very things. And yet, here they are before us in our time and in our day. These are important things. And again, this is just, you know, a few small things. But these things, some of those are important. And they're important things that happen that they're going to affect how we think today. They are affecting how we think today. And they're affecting our future. They're all connected. So how does God measure our lives? How does He measure it? Anybody? How is our time measured? Huh? This is not hard, really. Keep this one simple. Huh? It's not measured in years. It is measured by the way we live, but it's measured in days. Right? As I was pondering this decade and I start thinking about the next decade, if I look around this room, we're going to have additions in the next decade. We're going to have some subtractions. Some of you will not see through the next decade. Some of us may not see through the next year. That is not the promise. It never has been. And so, is time important? It's so important. Alma talks about this time, how God measures it. As he says in the 16th chapter, and what you know, 2:28, behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. We are added. The importance of the present is this is the time you get. And he says, and now as I said unto you before, and as I have you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. We have a day. We have today. And so the Book of Mormon tells us God measures time by a day. The Bible tells us the same thing. 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You know, Adam's been doing a study about the grace of God and that we've been given this grace. It was given without, you know, by God to all men. It's been offered. And then he says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The time is now. The things that you and I do, they are today. They're affected by our past. They affect our future. But this is the day that you and I have been given and how he measures us. There's no guarantee of another day. James 4:13-15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. As ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. This little piece back of time, you know, it is so hard for me to wrap my mind around that I'm in my mid-50s. It was just the other day I was in high school. I can remember being 6 years old, skipping down the road at our old house. I remember the day with clarity. I was so old then, 6. I was ready to conquer the world. And it's passed like a vapor. Some of you are closer to that time. As I look and I see, you know, the future that we all have is we're going to come to an end of this life. And Some of you are in this generation that God has blessed you so much. And I can look, and this is part of one of those things that the past has been, why it's so important is I've, so many of you that we've watched growing up. And we see your struggles and we see your problems. Life isn't fun. Old age has caught you and your bodies are breaking down and you can't see and you can't hear and you can't walk and you can't do what you've always done and you wonder, why am I here? And you're here because God's given you another day to serve Him, to be an example for those that come behind. And we watch you and we see you. We see your faith. We hear your testimonies and we rejoice. Today is important because we don't know how long. We don't have the promise of the next year. You know, the present time, the Lord talks about it. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Remember I asked you before, are we wiser the older you get? Circumspectly is heedful of the consequences. Do you know when you're walking in this life that you should be looking at the things that you do and what the consequence of those things will be? This is what time should do for us. Redeeming the time. Back, finding the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, there's several watches there. It doesn't matter what face you go with today. These are the digital things, you know. Thought about putting an older watch. I said, no, this will just date me, right? Because I had the old watch, but you can pick anyone you want today. But those seconds are ticking, and I ponder this. This picture is you and I have time today. We're given this time today. Can you make time? We say it all the time, though, right? You need to make time for, and what are we really trying to say? Huh? You got to organize your time. You only get so much. You only have so much going today. And the Lord has these things that He wants us to be doing in this time. You know, the challenges that we face today in our present world, is it difficult to have time to maintain your faith? Is it difficult to have time? I hear yes and I hear no. Does it seem like it some days? There's a list of things. I was thinking about this. Is this just only for our day, though? I want to know how many of you were super busy. Marvin, were you really busy when you were 18 years old? Did you have a lot of extra time?
No.
No. It's not. This isn't like just our generation. This has been going on from the beginning of time. There's things to do. There's crops to put in. There's crops to take out. There's work to do. There's all these things, and they all come against the 24 hours. We got less than that now for this day. They all come in there, and they all have a place. You know, even Solomon talked about it. He said there's a time for everything, didn't he? And in Ecclesiastes, I think it's the third chapter, there's a time for everything. How do you and I make the time for the things that are important? And, you know, understanding the gospel, communication with God, defeating the distractions. I was thinking about this. You know, one of the other biggest things that happened in this last decade is this became a household item worldwide. It's at every table. It's at every break. It's at bedtime. It's at mealtime. It's at church time. So is this evil? No, it's just, you know, it's something that you and I have been given. And now I say here, you know, I heard the sermons. I'm still a guy that does this. I carry these all the time because that's just me. It's my generation. That's where I'm comfortable. I'm not really that comfortable here. Although I have it, I love using it for reference. I don't, in a sermon, usually follow it, but some of you do. And so now here we are. As you and I, the importance of our present and keeping our relationship with God alive in the in today and in the days that are going to follow. How are you going to do it? How much time do you have with this or away from this? You know, I was thinking about this generation that grew up with this. This is a constant in their life. How do we as parents manage it? This is one of those great challenges of this year. Even in the foreign countries, everybody's got a cell phone. You go to a meeting. It used to be we'd go to a meeting and we'd have services. We'd preach and teach, and they'd give their translation and everything, and it was beautiful and quiet, and maybe there were songs, and then all of a sudden everybody got these, and then everybody got a call in the middle of the service, and it was always so important they had to leave and go outside and talk really loud so everybody could hear the conversation, to where we all had to start saying, would you please turn your or mute your phones or turn them off? But this is with us, and it's in the generations to come, and it's in our future for right now. So how do we do it? What is the difference that this has made? This is what I would say. You and I are called by God to take time and to build on a foundation. We got to stay connected to God. Here in Helaman chapter 2, I love this scripture. I was reading earlier this week about, you know, the Lord, you know, he talked about being the chief cornerstone, that the builders set it not. And how we had to build on him. And I love this scripture because it really is about making time in our schedule, putting God in our schedule. We must find a way to stay connected to God throughout our day. How do you stay built on the rock? Helaman told us in chapter 2, verses 74 and 75, now my sons, remember, it's upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that you must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon men build, they cannot fall. We are called to build our foundation. Everything that we're doing now is building the building that's going up, but where are you anchored? And this is so important, you know. If you're in this generation, you got to learn to use this technology to stay connected to your God. It can't take the place of him. Learn to set some boundaries of how much you can allow it to take up your time. I know every Sunday, I've talked about this before, I get this it got how much screen time I had per day. What's the average? It comes up on my phone every Sunday morning. You had this much screen time every day this week. I don't want to know what some of yours might be. There's a lot of screen time. But in our world and in our future, how does what we do today matter? Today, you have the ability to read your scriptures in this, to listen to the word of God read to you, to hear studies given to you. You can download sermons. There are so many options that you have to stay connected in your heart to God by the use of today's technology. It's not for everyone. Some of us have a harder time with it. But it is. It is the future of this generation. It can own you, or you can find a way to use it to serve God. Who's responsible for the welfare of your soul? Who?
Me.
That's right. Me. I'm responsible for mine. You are responsible for you. This is, and so you have to take the time. You have to make sure that you give time to keeping your anchor on the rock of Christ. And so, you know, as you look back this year, how did you do with that? What does your future need to look like? What does your day need to look like? How can you find a way, you know, to play, you know, to use these things in order to keep God centered and give him the time that he asks so that you have a relationship and that your future is improving. You are making an improvement on what you've already experienced in life in your future, and an improvement on how you're going to serve God. That's what he's looking for. He doesn't want us to stay in the same rut. He wants us to move forward and learn from our past. And we do that today. And then we get here. We're going to start looking. That first picture on your left, that's my life right there. It's like, where am I going next? My wife has a picture of that, in fact, on one of our trips, you know, that she hangs up at certain times of the year. It's kind of a picture of my life, you know. Where's the next journey going to take us, you know? Where is your future? What is the next exit? And, you know, we're going to be pushing forward into it. So I want to look at what Peter, I want to talk about transitioning to our future and why this is so important, why it's connected. 2 Peter 1, 2. Peter's talking to you and I. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, one of the things that God did, again, back to our past, is he prepared the way for you and I to have a different future and to be connected to him, to be connected to him by the Spirit, to take on ourselves, to be like him, having his divine nature, so that we would know him and that he would know us. And he left promises for you and I. And these things all connect to our future. Sorry, this is going to be a little bit small, but he goes on. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Is it important to see afar off? It is. And hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when I read this scripture, this transition is our present and how it affects our future and what that future God intended it to be. And we would spend time with him in his everlasting kingdom. And yet, as we are looking at the Word of God today, what we're doing right now is affecting our very future. Because these things take time. This isn't a, hey, all I got to do is one thing and I'm there. This is one of those lists of transforming a life, how God transforms our life. And he says, you know, by giving diligence, you know, you add to your faith. You put something else there, virtue. That's godliness. That's good character. You add to these things, the things that would exalt God and goodness. And to virtue, knowledge, you know, this thing, this transitioning, the things that you and I are doing today, they're affecting our future because they're affecting who we are and the person we're becoming. To our knowledge, temperance, learning to be patient, learning to not overdo. And there's a list. The list is everything. You know, extremes of anything are never good. God says to be temperate in everything. And to be patient. patience, godliness, all these things are these things that God is working in our lives to do for our future. And he's using the present to do it. Presently, he's trying to work with you on each of these things. And so, you know, I want to know how many of you were ready for Christmas a month before before Christmas. Was there, Karen was. I'm proud of you. Oh, Kenny was. Good. We at least got two. There's some representatives there. Asher says he was, but I know he was just wanting it to be there. But you know, how many of you found yourself frantic on the night before? Oh, man, I forgot to do it. Here's my list. My list is going crazy. And yet, because it was in the future, there's this day that God has put out there for you and I. And this day is coming. And he wants you and I to be ready. And so the present, as it transforms and becomes the future, is so important. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is that connection to the now and the future. You and I are called to live, to deny ourselves that we can live godly in this present world, the one we're in right now, and looking forward to this hope and the appearing of our Savior. This is one of those things that the Christian church and God's people has been called to from the very beginning. And here Peter goes on and talks about the purpose of prophecy. You know, prophecy, looking at the future, the importance of the future. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. We have also here, Peter was talking about, he says, you know, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables. We were eyewitnesses of the majesty of God. We walked with them. We talked with them. We saw what he did. And Peter even said, listen, I'm about to die. I'm about to give my life because Jesus told me I was going to shortly. Is that something interesting to know? You have time. Peter, you have a time. It's coming, though. It's coming quickly. And so he told him, he said, so I'm writing all this down so that you'll remember it and know it. But then he goes to this, but we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Prophecy is something that God had written. It's something about the future that gives light to our day today. It lightens your day today so you can see. You see what's coming. You see what you need to do to be ready. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Lord did things so that we would know the future. And he connected it to the past. That's why history repeats itself. He came once. He's coming again. We know this. But prophecy, the purpose, is to bring you and I into the future and be prepared so that our eyes are open. You know, it connects us to the past, the present, the future. He's used it to warn his people of coming events that has a physical or eternal implications. His people are given directions so they'll be able to prepare for these events. You know, there's an example in Luke. If we look at Luke, there was a prophetic warning about the future of the people that were in Jerusalem. And in Luke 21, 20 through 22, Jesus was telling them, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries there enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. You know, the Lord gave a warning to his people in Jerusalem. And this warning he gave somewhere around 30 AD. This happened in 70 AD, 40 years later. How many of you remember specifics of dreams and stuff from 40 years ago. It's hard to remember, isn't it? This was actually written down, though. It was written down. So here they are in the city of Jerusalem, and 35 years go by, 36 years. The Romans are upset, and here they're coming, and the Christians heard. They saw this. They knew of this prophecy, and they were asking the Lord, what shall we do? And history tells us, I think it's Eusebius that writes it, and he said, there was worthy Christians in Jerusalem, and they had an experience, and the Lord said, get out of this city. I want you to go to the city of Pella, which is in the mountains, just like Jesus said, and wait for the destruction of Jerusalem to be finalized. And so when the Romans came down, there was no Christians in Jerusalem. They survived because God had a hand in their future. But their present, the decisions of their present were going to have an impact on their future. They followed him. And they went, and they were spared. These prophecies are all through our scriptures, and they're still here for us today. The same prophecy talks about things of our day. There should be, in verses 25 to 28, there should be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Signs in the sun. Did we talk about that already? What were some of the signs we saw in the sun? One of the things that when God put those lights in the heavens, in Genesis, he talks about it. Way back there in the past, he said, they're going to be given for signs and for wonders, for times and for seasons. What's the other big event that happened in the signs of the moon? What happened in the last decade? Blood moons, right? We started hearing more about that and how they were used in prophecy. And there's these things that are happening. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. I want to know if there's any distress in the nations. And what is perplexity? Not knowing what to do. Don't know how to fix it. We know we got problems, but we can't figure out how to fix it. All you got to do is look no further than our own nation to figure out that we got problems and we don't know how to fix it. This is something the Lord told us was coming, though. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. What are you and I called to do because of prophecy? The Lord looking down and seeing the future and seeing what was going to be happening in the world, he didn't say that you and I are to be filled with fear. He said, lift up your head. The time is soon. I'm coming soon. And these things were given to us because the future time is so important. He finishes this chapter by saying in verses 34 to 36, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. We don't talk about like this, but you know, the party life. Don't really know what's going on in the world and don't care. Don't know what God's doing and don't care. You're just happy to be here because you have all the food you need. Everything's good. He says, be careful that these things don't come on you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. A snare is a trap that you don't see coming. If you're not looking for it, you're not going to see it. It's used effectively all over the world and has been from the beginning of time. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, this look into the future is asking you to make something in the present important, that you would watch, that you'd be aware of what's happening and pray always. That's today. That you are accounted worthy to escape all those things and to be ready to stand before Christ when he comes. This look into the future that Jesus had prophesied to us there in Luke, it's for you and I to take account of today. It's supposed to affect our present day. The things that you do, the reason why, the things that you think, the things that you pray for, we're asked to remember them. something else, this look into the future. In Hebrews 10, 23 to 27, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know, God's faithful that he would help us be faithful to the end, that he would hold us and strengthen us. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I don't know if you've considered the word provoke. I was pretty good at it growing up. You could ask anybody around our house. Anybody that came to live with us probably knew me. Because I used to provoke you too. Sometimes unwittingly, but I had the ability to do it. But that's not really the type of provoke he's asking us to do. And we'll look at that word in just a minute. But you and I are asked to do something in the present, looking to the future. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. This present is connected to the future. And what you and I are doing are gathering together in worship, in prayer, in preaching, in teaching, in song, all these things to help each other be prepared for the day that's coming. Exhorting one another. One of those other things that you and I are called to take the time in the present to do. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. You know, the future looks great in some things, and yet we're reminded there's another side of that future that our present can affect. If you and I are sinning willfully, if we're not helping one another be prepared for the day that's coming. And what is that day? There's some, that day may be coming before Jesus returns. It's one of the things that a local is supposed to do. We're supposed to walk one another from life to death back into the arms of Jesus. To be encouraging one another through all of life. If you're not doing that in your locals, if you're not doing that in your families, then you're failing in the present and you're not looking at the future. But are we taking each other down the road to death and rebirth in a new life? This is something that he tells us here so that we would focus on our present, looking to that future event as something that requires some preparation. To provoke is to incitement for good, you know. How do we encourage one another? How do we incite one another? How do we uplift each other? How do we inspire each other to a better life in Christ? Exhorting. It says we need to exhort each other, to call near. That is to invite, to invoke by imploration, ortation, consolation, to beseech, to call. You know, I love it when I come to a prayer service and the testimony isn't just about what God does. There's this mixture. There's someone stands up and says, you know, Lord, put this on my heart. There's something that we need to consider. Things that we ought to be doing or things that we're struggling with as a local, as individuals, as a church, whatever it is. These things are so important for our present because we're looking to a future. And if we're not doing them in the present, we're missing out and not seeing the true importance of this future that's coming. In Matthew 5, I know that you know this parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, the Lord talks about 10 virgins, 5 being wise and 5 were foolish. They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And 5 were prepared and 5 were unprepared. Why are we warned? This warning so that you and I in the present would start to take stock of where we are and what is coming, how you want to be. I know that I remember there was a time in my life when Jen and I were miles apart. To be able to get together was such an awesome thing to look forward to. I didn't want to be in my grubbies. I wanted to look my best. I wanted to be my best. We have a son that's going to return. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are. I'm looking forward to it. To meet the one that gave everything. For me, for you. I want to look my best. I want you to look your best. In Revelation 19, 7 through 9, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. You know, the church was doing the work in the present to prepare for the future. She made herself ready. Our present is so important because it affects our future. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You and I are being called to a supper, to a feast, to a time. And one of these days, this future is going to become our present. Where will you and I be? I could ask you that question again, you know. Which part of time is most important? I could ask maybe a better question. Which part of time do you and I have at our disposal that we can do something about? It's today. You and I have the ability today to do something. It's connected to our past, and it'll be connected to the future. And as we come to an end of this year, end of this decade, as we look forward to the year ahead, you know, take that time to look back. See the things that are important. See the things. Learn from the past. Make them part of your future decisions. Find a way to make the present, today, tomorrow, the next day. Find a way to have a relationship with Christ. Find a way to put aside time that you give to God. You choose it so that you can be prepared for the future that He has already written. And it's on its way. This is my thoughts for you tonight. I hope that you've gained, that you have at least considered some of these things and how important they are to our future. I can tell you I love you all. This year has come with so many blessings. There's so many things I won't forget. I'm thankful for all of you that come to church, that support my life spiritually. I'm thankful for our brothers and sisters at Livestream that send text messages, for those that give any time. You don't have to be a minister. I'm so thankful to each of you. I look forward to a new year. I look forward to a new time in the future. And I just pray that God will strengthen us to be prepared and ready for the return of our Savior. Thank you for your time.